You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
The struggle for the liberation of Palestine has been long, complex, and difficult. Attention most often is focused on viewpoints of those dominating the Palestinian people, those building a colonial settler state on Palestinian land. Attention sometimes is focused on the injustices and suffering experienced by the indigenous Palestinian people, but hardly at all does attention focus on the Palestinian people's own political efforts and organization to achieve their liberation. We spoke about this dimension in late September with Tofiq Haddad, a Bethlehem-based American Palestinian. He's a researcher for the Palestinian organization Badil and a journalist for the online newspaper Faster Times. Tofiq Haddad also is co-author with Israeli activist Tikva Parnas of the book Between the Lines. In our September conversation, now podcast on rabble.ca, Tofiq explored the period from the 1930s to the Oslo Agreement in the early 1990s, and this morning we've reached him again to bring our discussion up to the present. Good afternoon to you in Bethlehem, Tofiq, and thanks for joining us once again on Vancouver Cooperative Radio.
Good morning, Mordechai, from here in Palestine.
Let's jump right into the present. One of the central Palestinian political organizations, Fatah, held a congress of several thousand delegates in August in Bethlehem. How would you characterize the organization Fatah as it entered that congress?
Well, Fatah was in a state of severe organizational fragmentation as well as, I would argue, political disorientation. Its major overall political strategy that it had been leading since the Oslo Accords had more or less failed. I mean, in 1993 you had the signing of the Oslo Accords. The idea behind it was quite simply that negotiations would be conducted with Israel on a temporary basis until the formation, hopefully, of some kind of Palestinian state and the resolution of most of the outstanding issues, including, of course, settlements, Jerusalem, refugees, quite importantly, and water and some other issues to do with the nature of the Palestinian state. But after 7 years of negotiations, that largely failed. We don't really have to go into the reasons for why that failed right now, but the reality is a wide-scale popular uprising sort of erupted in 2000, largely in protest of the way the negotiations had been taking place, largely as a result of Israel's continued settlement policies and the fact that Israel was not sincere or genuinely interested in fulfilling Palestinian national rights. That uprising, the Second Intifada, or sometimes called the Al-Aqsa Intifada, shook the Palestinian internal political scene, and in many ways there was a dimension to it where it was against the way the Palestinian Authority had been leading the national project. When I say Palestinian Authority, it also largely means Fatah, because Fatah was the one who was, it was Fatah's strategy, and Fatah was the one who was in power in the Palestinian Authority. So basically, the eruption of the Intifada also meant that Palestinians were seeking different ways to achieve their rights because they had lost faith in the negotiations, and they also in ways lost faith in the ability of the Palestinian leadership to be able to fulfill their rights, or at least lead their rights and the struggle for their rights. So this is largely the context in which Fatah enters their recent conference. They had a failure of political strategy. They had a lack of legitimacy of their own leadership after the death of Arafat in November 2004. Fatah had also lost an election after leading the national movement for basically 40 years. In January 2006, they lost a democratic election to Hamas. And this sort of shows to what extent their position had been weakened on the Palestinian national scene, both locally as well as the Palestinian diaspora. So there's also other elements of it where it's inside Fatah there were rising voices of discontent. During the Intifada, you had a Fatah arm wing develop, which was in ways competing with Hamas as to leading the struggle against Israel. In contrast to the Palestinian Authority's open discourse about returning to negotiations. So there was a need to try and put things back in order. Fatah has always suffered from a complicated political strategy, I would say. It's a party based on opportunism. You don't have to have embrace any essential political ideas or ideologies to be a member of the party. And it had, because it's sort of a realpolitik party, had in many ways developed these kind of networks of different people who it had cut deals with in the Palestinian scene to rule locally and to rule over Fatah. But that's not the same as having a political strategy. So there was a lot of internal contradictions, fight over leadership. There was also cries of corruption, both from the Palestinian scene towards Fatah as well as inside Fatah. So there was a great need to try and put things in order, and the Fatah conference was largely designed to try and do that. They conducted their own internal conference in 20 years, which is indicative of to the extent to which even inside Fatah there was a crisis of legitimacy and a lack of reviewing of how the party had been doing and how they were going to set forward for the future.
And I guess then the question arises, coming out of that Congress, were these various confusions over strategy, fragmentation of orientation, the issues of corruption and so on, were those addressed in ways that made it a different organization at the end of its conference?
Well, a lot of that remains to be seen. We don't want to judge too early what happened there. It's also worth saying that a lot of the sessions were internal, and it was an opportunity for Fatah to discuss amongst itself and sort of vent all those different feelings and ideas and angers and whatnot. But what we did see at the end of the conference was that largely Fatah both remained a united party, and it remained united behind Mahmoud Abbas or Abu Mazen, which showed his ability to sort of hold all the strings in his hands and not allow for the different interests and different competing interests or competing ideas to sort of ally with one another and sort of push him out of power. And this sort of speaks to in many ways, the political bankruptcy of Fatah, I would argue. They are not really offering, there is no major political opposition inside Fatah that has a competing political strategy as to how to achieve Palestinian national rights. And so they basically said, Abu Mazen has been leading this project. We will give him the space to continue his strategy, and we will at the same time try and organize ourselves internally a little better so that we don't have to worry about things like Hamas or other movements taking away from their political base. But it's also worth mentioning a little bit about what that strategy is. I mean, we talked a little bit last time about how in the early 70s Fatah came to a conclusion that the liberation of Palestine and the fulfillment of Palestinian national rights needed a kind of incremental staged approach to it. And the first stage of that was, let's say, the Oslo Accords gaining recognition from Israel as with the Palestinians being, with the PLO being the sole legitimate representative body of the Palestinians, so something they had fought for a long time. And then the second part of it is trying to establish some kind of political base where you could organize the struggle from. And Oslo sort of created these semi-autonomous areas, Palestinian controlled by the Palestinian Authority, areas A and B. And these were supposed to form the basis of conducting a struggle, whether it's a political struggle or otherwise, to achieve Palestinian rights. The problem is Israel hasn't stopped its policies towards the Palestinians in terms of what it's trying to do, and what it's trying to do is simply colonize the rest of the West Bank and incorporate it entirely into Israel and make the idea of a Palestinian state in the West Bank there impossible. And in the longer term aspects, I mean, this colonization project also, has grave concerns for. The continued existence of the Palestinians in the West Bank, because similar to how Israel was constructed before 1948, these settlements that they're building today form military positions from which, essentially, if situations occur where armed conflict breaks out, they might be used as a way to be able to push the Palestinians off of the West Bank. So on a daily basis, everyone hears about how Israel continues to build its settlements, and even if the Palestinian Authority has these sort of semi-autonomous areas, firstly, Israel is not really respecting those, and ultimately all power remains in Israel's hands. We see that very clearly in Gaza, for instance. Nothing really enters or exits the place unless Israel allows it to. And then Israel simply, builds more and more settlements and essentially ghettoizing Palestine, or what remains of Palestine, and creating also a de facto apartheid regime across the whole area. So it's not clear that, to bring it back to the original question, that Fatah really has a strategy to be able to stop this larger trend. We just saw very recently the Palestinian leadership